Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
No, we got a whole month of January to go of Red Fridays, and then one in February.
Yeah, because you get Red Friday in the playoffs, don't you?
That's exactly right. You do. Of course, it's the best Red Fridays of the year, the ones that matter the most.
Yeah, that's when we our MVP sweatshirts come out. Nice red you're wearing today, Bob.
Thank you.
On a Red Friday.
I got my hat on.
I think I'm the only one. Is that? Yeah, it counts.
I mean, it is a Chiefs hat. I would hope that a Chiefs hat does count on Red Friday. Even Mac's not wearing Chiefs gear today.
Under my jacket.
Oh, all right.
He's wearing a red thong, he said.
You got a thong on today? Yeah. Do you? Good for you.
It's in the shape of Casey Wolf.
Yeah, all that house hunting in Johnson County's got you ready to rock
exactly
and roll,
right?
Huh?
Ken Crawford's got me going, baby.
He'll turn his camera on. He'll do the pelvic thrust that makes Casey Wolf famous. What's the line in Major League 2? Jack Parkman does the shake. It makes the ladies in Cleveland go nuts.
That's right, yeah.
And then he gets straight to the White Sox. It makes the women in Cleveland puke.
You go, you're quoting Major League 2. You know? You really code for the good ones. There was a tweet by Variety yesterday, speaking of bad movies, that said, like, the box office is down, right? Nobody's going back to the box office or whatever.
Sorry, tweet.
And I'm like, but it's because all we do is reboots of the same damn movies over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, you've seen the movie. 20 years later, they're remaking the movie. Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to go see the... No, they're not, though. People are not going to see the reboots of everything that we've already seen. So Memo to Hollywood has nothing to do with the writers being on strike a year ago. It has everything to do with you guys don't have any good ideas anymore.
That's why Christopher Nolan's like the Patrick Mahomes of directors, because he just does everything originally. He just does it on his own terms. He's clearly the best director right now in Hollywood. He like got the torch pass from James Cameron.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to come out with the Odyssey, Homer's version. I think he's doing part
two. Based on this company?
Yeah. Spelled differently.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
It's like John Coffey. Like the drink, but spelled differently,
that's
boss.
Right. Yeah.
R.I.P.
What a great movie that was, too. Oh. That was my last VHS movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he know what VHS is?
Probably not.
Does Mac know what VHS is?
I don't know that Mac knows what VHS is.
What movie are we referring to?
The Green Mile.
Okay, gotcha.
No, check that. DVD. We'll go even more.
Yeah. You know what a DVD is, Mac. Do you? Let me look that up real fast. Call my mom and see if she can help me.
To throw shade on Bob. Bob still got laser discs.
I never had a laser disc ever. No.
That was a Jersey thing.
No. I had one friend that had a laser disc, and that was it.
I don't even know what a laser disc is. I'm like just rambling.
It looked like a big record and just never took off. It was just too big. Kind of like the Beta. You know, Josh was the only one that had the Beta back in the day.
Now it's Meta.
Is it Meta?
Uh-huh. World peace.
All right.
So weather is coming, according to some.
I got a guy out there right now showing you the streets.
It hasn't started yet.
In 3 days, there's going to be a lot of snow on this street. Get your car off the road.
Are you, I guess you have a garage. You're lucky. So I guess I got to put my windshield wipers up. Is that the thing these days?
I'm not in on that bit, man. Like I see that all the time. People put their windshield wipers up. I never really understood, you know, unless it's going to ice and the stuff is going to freeze to your windshield.
There's ice coming too, man.
There's people who put the cardboard on their windshields and all that kind of stuff. So
that's not the headline I thought they were going to talk about.
Not at all.
Good Lord.
We, honest to God, thought this was going to be some lame local news weather report. Nope.
Triple homicide.
Murder.
All right. On to the NFL Network. Let's keep Friday positive here.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, but the storm is coming. They're saying it's going to start like noon tomorrow now is what they're saying, right? Noon tomorrow.
I got to go to Costco today.
You better get there. I'm telling you, if you're going on Saturday in this job, Dusty, you're doing it completely wrong.
No, I'm
going
to go right after work.
After work, you go to the Hy-Vee, go to the Costco, get your bread, get your milk, get your soda, get your Chinese food, get your Pepsi, get your all your stuff.
Right? I was told to get the chicken Caesar salad kit at Costco.
Okay.
I mean, you got to be somewhat healthy. We just ate ham and beef and everything for like 7 weeks.
I know. Like, it's like, even yesterday I got home, I'm like, I just have no appetite for anything. And Jen's like, I don't understand what you're talking about. I haven't eaten. Like, I'm like, oh, I have. Like, you know, it just goes and goes and goes. I mean, it just has to stop eventually. So maybe this is the weekend. Yeah, we could just get the salad kit, call it a day and just eat
salad
some lettuce.
Salad kit, taco kit. Any sort of kit.
Yeah, anything to kind of, you know, kind of beef up. Like what's your winter snow-in menu going to be,
I think,
right?
It's pretty simple. You do anything Mexican. So you can do, like, enchiladas, tacos, Rotel, the little taquitos. Obviously, clearly not healthy, but you're not going anywhere. That's quick. It's warm.
Mm-hmm.
A hearty soup, I think, is something that you also could have, like a potato soup, a beef stew, a chili, obviously.
Right.
Or it is the perfect time for the old pot roast.
Oh, breaking out the pot roast. Are you like a Dr. Pepper can of, over the pot roast into the
I'm the Gordon Ramsay, like smear it in this cast iron, then put it in the crock pot, add the beef stock, the potatoes, the carrots.
You really
the
do go all out, don't you, with
You've
this
seen
stuff.
The pictures.
I know. I mean, you just do. I think you throw the pot roast on the smoker, though, or something like
Too
that.
Too cold.
So. Yeah.
Oh, really? I don't
want
to go out there.
Okay.
Do you?
Yes, I do, because I told the kids this weekend, I said, when that snow starts, we're putting on our cozies, and we're sitting around that fire pit, and we're taking pictures of the
snow.
You do
have a solo stove.
I do.
And nice.
It's they're awesome. I love it. And,
yeah,
and
they should be with a price.
They're not that bad, though.
What?
$250 bucks.
To get the small one?
No, I got a small one yesterday. They were on sale. They had like a 50% off sale recently.
$225?
$50 bucks for the little tiny one I got yesterday. But the big one was only like $200. I bought it during COVID. It was the best purchase I ever made. I mean, the ability to sit outside and have that and whatnot during lockdown. And so it was fantastic. I use the fire pit maybe more than I use anything, though. I put that thing on. I light that thing all the time. I love it.
Yeah, there's no debate. Those things are awesome. There is a debate going on right now with the college football playoffs. Slightly was attacked last night by my good buddy Joe Summers.
Oh, my God. Why?
Well, so let's get this straight. The four teams that got byes outside of the Texas-Arizona State game, the combined score differential was 95 to 45.
That's a big point differential.
50 points, Bob, was the point differential from those three teams. Notre Dame beat Georgia 23-10. Penn State beat Boise State 31-14. Ohio State beat Oregon 41-21. Add all those up, it's 95 to 45. It was blowouts all around. Yeah. Now, the Texas-Arizona State game was the best game of the college football playoffs.
No question. The refs helped that one become good, too. Yeah.
Scataboo was great. Yep. He was an all-world player. Puked on the sidelines, then threw a touchdown pass, then ran for a touchdown, did everything.
Did
he
everything.
To keep his
Looks
team in
just
the game.
Like his dad, too. Like, did you see that? I thought they were twin brothers. I did not realize that was his old man in the crowd. My
God. I don't know if I'd rather, like, get paid to try to tackle Derrick Henry or Scataboo.
Oh, Scataboo. No question. I'm not getting near Derrick Henry, dude.
I wouldn't
That's
get near
the last
Scataboo,
guy.
Man. That guy looks like he's a freight train when he runs the ball, like a bowling ball times 10.
If you would have seen Derrick Henry like we did with no shirt on South Beach, you would
Calm
not
down.
Go
Calm
near
down.
Derrick Henry. Okay, that dude's trucking people.
So the thing that frustrates me is that these teams got byes because they won their conference, so they got the outright, which Oregon deserved it. I'm not saying that. But Oregon didn't deserve to play Ohio State that early. So Ohio State and Texas will play that semifinal.
Right.
That's the national championship.
That's the national championship
game. And then teams like Penn State and Notre Dame get to walk to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Notre Dame got to play Indiana at home. Stop giving them home games, like all neutral sites, right? And I'm not saying that Indiana would have won if they played somewhere else.
I disagree. I like the home games. I think they're great. I think it's fun.
Sense to me. And I think what you do is, I think in the future, which they will change this because of what happened in this year's thing. I think the playoff field is great. Like I said earlier, or yesterday, they had all the ingredients to make like a perfect omelet. But then when they made it, they left out like key ingredients. Like they didn't put butter in the pan, so they burnt the eggs. They didn't have the ham, so they didn't have a true Denver omelet. They just screwed it up, but everything was right there and the instructions were there to make it right. They did it, but they didn't seed it right. So I think next year what you have to do is you have to take the four best teams record-wise and their strength of schedule, and that's how you get the top four.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say, oh, so then winning your conference doesn't mean anything. Not really.
No.
Because Boise State's conference wasn't great. Boise State did not deserve a first-round bye. I don't know if I'm the only one in that field. I know Matt gets really passionate about this subject. But again, like, now we have to see, like, teams like Oregon, right, their rest was cool, and then you get Ohio State.
Right.
And I know they're Big Ten teams, but that game shouldn't have been played that early, at least in my opinion. Luckily it was, because that was a national championship, and that was a result. We'd all be sitting here bitching and moaning about whatever happened on that game, because it's like, well, this is what we got. But again, like, Texas, you know, walks right through it, right? Like, Texas played, what, Clemson? And then they played Arizona State.
Yeah, but Texas didn't walk right to it. I mean, they had it handed to them by the officials. I mean, this was a game that Arizona State should have won. The only team that I look at and say shouldn't have gotten that bye was Boise State, because they won a conference that's irrelevant. I mean, let's call
Big
it what it is,
isn't
right?
Strong either.
No, but at least Arizona State showed up. You know, yeah. Arizona State showed up, right?
And well, Boise State did too. I think that was a good game.
Yeah,
that score is not indicative. That should have been 21-28. Field goal kicker, 20-28, that field goal kicker missed two field goals, the game was over.
Well, but also, too, you're relying on a college kicker. I mean, those are one of those things. But I thought Arizona State should have won that football.
Do you agree that Boise and Arizona State should have gotten byes?
Oh, no.
100% no.
No, we've been
right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, the byes team should have been, you know, your Ohio State, Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State's an eight seed. But here's what happened. That's the beauty of the college football regular season, where every game truly does matter. Now, you could take that away. Like, there's so many ways to look at it, but no matter what you do, you're affecting the Jenga game, right? You mm-hmm. remove this piece and then this piece crumbles. So what could you do? You could have a shorter college football regular season. You could have no conference playoff games as well. You could move this thing up to not have. I saw people complaining about the rest and trying to compare it to the Chiefs. That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. The Chiefs resting for 3 weeks has no bearing whatsoever on what happened in college football, but for college kids, you know, you kind of get out of sorts a little bit. You're doing things, family, blah, blah, blah. You had a month off. You got to move that stuff up, because those four teams that rested, they didn't look good at all in the college football playoff for the most part. You know, I know Arizona State did, but other than that, man, those teams that rested, they rested. I mean, they took a vacation.
And I know that we keep like bringing this up, because everyone's like, well, this isn't new for college football. Blowouts happen all the time. You were talking about Beasley's text yesterday.
Yeah, like 18-point differential
but
in the last 10 years.
This was supposed to be the new way, and it's not the same way. So that means either it's always going to be this way, or they haven't figured out the system yet. I just think that reseeding needs to happen next year, or a different way that they seed these teams, because you can't keep moving forward with this.
I mean, we're still just very top heavy in college football right now. Until this NIL thing figures its way out and more teams are investing, if you will, into players and the wealth gets spread around, I still think we're dealing with the top heaviness of what college football really is. And it's always going to be, I think anyway, even with NIL, the haves versus everybody else in this thing.
I think the portal's also major, because like, I was watching for like 5 minutes last night. They had the Under Armour All-State or All-Conf or whatever it was, the high school players, the mm-hmm. top players in the country. And they showed a list of like the recruiting class, and it was still Bama, Oregon, Ohio State, all those big teams. But the thing that's crazy is like, they get those recruits, but then half those people will transfer because
probably more than that.
Right. I mean, imagine those running backs back in the day that all went to Alabama that wouldn't have missed a year, like an Alvin Kamara that ended up going to Tennessee Mac.
Right.
And then all of a sudden getting into the project. Where'd that guy go to college? Well, originally he went to Alabama.
Then had to sit out a year.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And then you look at Joe Burrow, Ohio State, goes to LSU. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Where's Quinn Ewers going to go? The $6 million for Ohio State next year.
Looks good.
I heard that yesterday and
from this guy,
from you, yeah. you had said it yesterday. I started to think about it. And then I heard the $6 million number too. And I'm like, geez, like what's the benefit of leaving early now if you're a quarterback in college? I mean, you go to college and make $6 million a year.
Well, the answer to that is if you're a guy like Carson Beck, you go to the pros, because I don't know how much NIL money he's going to actually get in Georgia. Probably a little bit, right?
Yeah.
More than we'd ever make in our lives.
His replacement was pretty darn good yesterday, though, too. You know?
And I think he would get more money if he left, because the quarterback class is weak this year. Two, someone's going to take a flyer on him, and mm-hmm. he's going to get paid pro money. And he's going to get endorsements as well, where he could probably make more money. And I think he is going to the pros. I think did Beck say he's going to go pro?
I think so. I think he's going out.
Somebody else declared yesterday too that I saw. Oh, Milroe of Alabama.
Jalen Milroe.
He sucks. Yeah, but you know what? He's going to get drafted because 100%. NFL teams just can't help themselves.
Well, and it's a weak class.
And it's a very
Take
weak
advantage
class.
Of that if
Absolutely.
You can.
But I like, look, man, I don't know if I'm getting nostalgic or whatever, but like Quinn Ewers going to Ohio State potentially for $6 million, I'm like, I love that move, man. Like, not because it's my butt
guy,
but I mean, like, I wonder if we're going to see this more. There's no pressure really on these kids. You're going to make $6 million. You get drafted by the NFL. Say Quinn Ewers, just for argument's sake, gets drafted by the Giants or the Raiders. Now he's looked at as a man who has to turn an entire franchise around. He's going to Ohio State potentially for $6 million. He's just a dude making $6 million at Ohio State. Why wouldn't you take that every day?
I don't know. Coming up on the other side, court will be in session, and Judge Bob, or Lawyer Bob, will take the stand. I'm Dusty Likens. This is Mac Morey, Bob Fesco. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving into it on a Friday, Red Friday. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. You've got a couple of friends in studio today.
Yeah, David and Mitchell are in studio today. David's the dad, Mitchell's the son. He goes to school with my daughter. California Trail shout out. Member of the 4 overtime championship team of California Trail. Look at him smiling about that. One of the greatest football games I've ever witnessed. California Trail beat an opponent in 4 overtimes to win the city championship.
That's a better game than we got in the college football playoffs.
It really was.
And they're kids too.
Yeah, it really was. It was the game that would never end, and the right team came out on top. So they're in studio today because Mitchell may want to do this as an adult sometime.
Run as far
right?
away as possible right now. Just get out.
Get and out. His dad's like, we'll be in at 5:30. I'm like, you're out of your mind.
That's dedication. Yeah.
And they were here at 5:30. So that's the first step, right?
Speaking of that, I remember I got my first job as a kid in a grocery store, and I went for my interview during a blizzard.
Oh, gosh.
And I showed up, and the general manager goes, what are you doing? I was like, I'm interviewing for the job. You got it, Lee. And I was like, sweet. I walked right out. My stepdad was like, what happened? I was like, he was impressed that we showed up. I got the job. He's like, see, dedication. I'm like, whatever that means.
Yeah, 90% of life is showing up, right?
Yeah,
is what 60, they say,
60%
right?
of the time it works.
Every time.
So a thanks for listening note here, because Monday, I'm sure you were checked out. So.
Oh, God, yes.
So I said that there was a way that Andy Reid could backdoor cover the coach of the year.
Yeah.
And that's if and only if Detroit wins and the Chiefs win.
Okay.
Because if Detroit wins, I think Kevin O'Connell doesn't get it because he will then lose the home field, and it's so pivotal every week.
Right.
If Andy Reid goes 16-1, how can you not?
Well,
right?
I mean, yeah.
Especially in the last game of the year, you win with Carson Wentz and Carson Steele.
Right.
And now you are now here to give a sort of declare of why, one, Mahomes should be MVP, which is never going to happen again.
Right.
And two, hi, Andy
Reid. Bobby Stroop said, good.
Yeah. Simple.
Yeah.
And then you got also Andy Reid, Coach of the Year, which is just blasphemous that he's never won it except once, and it's been since, I think, 2007?
Was it that
I think that's when he won it the first time.
I thought it was 2000, but I could be wrong about that.
I want to say it was 07 with Philadelphia, so it's been almost 30 years, almost 20 years, right?
Yeah.
18
years,
officially
yeah.
now. So, the courtroom is yours, and you can either piss people off or get a lot of people happy.
Well, and this is going to be addressed to the people who are voting for this Coach of the Year, because you hold the truth in your hand. And as a lawyer in this, I want to issue my closing argument.
Great music.
For why Andy Reid should be Coach of the Year in the NFL. So let me address the ladies and gentlemen of the electorate. I believe there are, I don't know how many people vote on Coach of the Year, 50, 100 people maybe vote
on
Coach.
I have no idea who votes.
I think it's people like who write for a living, right? Like, you know, the writers of the world, the pro football writers, they get the say in all this. And so as this NFL season comes to a close, ladies and gentlemen, let me get you set to cast your vote for Coach of the Year for Andy Reid. I'm sure many of you will be influenced by social media and the low-hanging fruit takes of the day. Do not allow social media or those low-hanging fruit takes sway your voting in this important award. Your vote needs to go to Andy Reid. It's the only logical choice for Coach of the Year, and it's the only sensible choice as well. Andy Reid is 15-1 and has an opportunity to go 16-1, and that final win would come over a desperate team, a team that needs to win to get into the playoffs, and a team that's facing Carson Wentz. But I digress. Andy Reid is 15-1. Did I mention that? 15-1! And he's played and beaten every AFC playoff team except Buffalo. And he's beaten the Chargers twice. Speaking of the Chargers, that guy's in the Coach of the Year running as well. Andy isn't dominating a weak division. He's won a division that will most likely have 3 of the 7 AFC playoff teams. No one else is doing that. He's also winning as injuries pile up. lost his top offseason receiver in the first preseason game, lost his big-time running back in week two, lost his number one wide receiver in week four, had no one to play left tackle until December, and has had a revolving door of cornerback opposite Trent McDuffie, who got screwed as well. Yet Andy Reid has still led this team to a 15-1 record. He's had his changes game plan during the season. He's had his changes game plan in game, and he still finds ways to get the job done. When it's easy to get complacent after winning two straight titles, Andy Reid has managed to guide this team to impressive wins, comeback wins, and amazing wins, all while every opponent that plays the Chiefs plays them like it's their Super Bowl, and Andy still wins. The nerds will tell you that Dan Campbell has a great VORP and Kevin O'Connell has a wonderful hard hit rate, and man, Raheem Morris's teams weren't as bad as they should have been. None of that matters. Wins matter, and Andy has more of them this year than any other coach in the league, and won the AFC over God's team by two full games. There's no other choice. If you had a brain and you can think for yourself, Andy Reid is the call. If you like to follow the pack, then you will have regret for the rest of your life. It's pretty simple. Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird once said, "The one thing that doesn't abide by majority rule is a person's conscience." If you have a conscience, you vote for Andy Reid.
Yeah, the theories of Andy Reid, is tough. The coach of the year theories just don't make sense. I mean, Kevin O'Connell for sure is your winner right now. He's minus 1,000 on DraftKings. Dan Campbell plus 550. Andy Reid plus 1,400. I think the bullet points that you get is do something that you're not expected to do, win your conference, and, you know, show dominance, right? Kevin O'Connell checks all those boxes. I don't know if Minnesota was supposed to be this good. He turned Sam Darnold around. You could have an argument that Sam Darnold's your MVP of the season.
Sure.
And they might have home field advantage against one of the toughest, if not the toughest, division in football. But then you take all those narratives and you put them towards Andy Reid. Were they supposed to go 15-1?
I did say 17-0. I was pretty damn close to that. I'll pat myself on the back
but
for that.
But you've been
one.
Doing that for 3 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that's fair.
Yeah.
But he's not supposed to go 16-1 or 15-1, whatever it may be.
Right.
Right?
Not with this team. This is the worst 15-1 team anybody's ever seen.
Minnesota had issues on their offensive line that they fixed for injury, so I'll give Kevin O'Connell that. But not as many as Detroit nor the Chiefs, mm-hmm. right? Andy Reid loses his left tackle, his wide receiver, his running back. He loses his secondary corner.
Every cornerback that's played on this team, right. Safeties.
For sure. So he's overcome that and still went 15-1 throughout the season so far.
And beat playoff teams.
Beat six playoff teams, went 6-1 against playoff teams, went undefeated at home, mm-hmm. and again, goes 15-1. So again, what's the unexpected? Does Andy Reid moving forward only have to go, does he have to just go undefeated every single year? Because imagine if they win a three-peat, they go 16, say they beat Denver on Sunday, 10.5-point underdogs, by the way, hilarious.
Mm-hmm. If they beat Denver with Carson Wentz at quarterback, there's no question.
And then they win a three-peat and they beat, you know, let's say they beat Detroit, let's say Minnesota doesn't make it. The writers are going to sit back and be like, you know what? We voted Kevin O'Connell as coach of the year, but here's a guy who's done something they've never done before. Get everybody's, you know, toughest game, which I guess you can't factor that into voting. But again,
but you
you're going to be okay saying at the end of the day that a guy who goes 15-2 or 16-1, whatever in the regular season, goes 3-0 in the playoffs, wins 18 games, has only been done two other times in the history of the NFL. Not the coach of the year.
Not the coach of the year. No, not the. It's amazing to me to think that if Andy Reid would have beaten Buffalo, he probably still wouldn't be considered the coach of the year in the NFL, because people like to give the award to the, I guess the flash in the pan. I'm not saying that Kevin O'Connell is a flash in the pan. I think he's going to be one of those good coaches in the NFL. But right now, he's a flash in the pan. Andy Reid just goes out there and takes care of business every which way, goes out there and dominates in every which way, find ways to win when things aren't working for him, and we're not considering him coach of the year?
How many first-round picks would you give for Kevin O'Connell?
I think if I'm like the Bears or the Jets or a team like the Giants maybe, that you need a big-time reboot. I mean, Dick Vermeil got a second and a third. Herm got like a third and a fourth. I think Gruden got a first-round pick back in the day. I would probably give up my next three first-round draft picks for Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, that sounds fine. At least two.
Yeah.
I mean, that and for me to say that for a coach,
yeah,
is a big deal, because I don't think most of them suck.
You don't think any of these guys are good?
No, I really don't. They're not. It's proven out.
How many
really
picks
has.
Did Al Pacino get from any given Sunday?
A lot.
Because then he took Jamie Foxx with him.
Right.
Kevin O'Connell gets traded, take Sam Darnold with him.
Yeah. I mean,
Go to San Francisco, take Sam Darnold with you.
If you wish. But no, but if you're the Giants, the Jets.
Well, they're going to go get Mike McCarthy.
McCarthy's going to the Bears now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
If you're like the Giants, the Jets, the Raiders, like you need a total reboot of your program, right? You need a total reboot of your program. Yeah, they kind of stink too, but they're in year
Matt's
one.
Matt's got
with
inside
that guy.
Sources said they want that guy fired after year one. Callahan.
Sometimes
he doesn't work for the automakers.
That's right.
That's who he is, and that's who he doesn't care about.
He just yells at people in press conferences.
They better
sell auto parts.
They lost 8 or 9 games in a row last season. I was listening over while I was in Nashville over the holiday break on their Sunday game. Buck Rising said the most depressing.
Buck Rising.
That's a great name.
Great.
That guy can help you with ED.
Yeah, he can. Great name. I was going to say, that guy's got a career after radio, man.
Do you need help
Ladies and gentlemen,
dysfunction?
On the center stage, yeah. Buck Rising.
Yeah, that's
the
great.
The guy's name is Buck Rising?
Buck Rising.
Is that a real name?
Absolutely. He's a great guy. He's covered the team for almost 10 years.
Buck Rising.
I see your Ocho Cinco and raise you a Buck Rising.
Buck Rising. What is the guy's real name?
That's a good question.
You don't know it?
Never asked.
You don't need to when a guy's name is Buck Rising.
What's your name? I'm Buck Rising.
I don't want to know.
Buck Rising, Attorney General.
I don't want to know what The Rock's real name is. People call him Dwayne Johnson. I'm like, who? I'm like, nah, it's The Rock.
Yeah. It's The Rock.
No, you don't want to know Buck Rising's real. Buck Rising is the guy's name?
He said it's the most depressing organization that he's been around in his 10 years. They've had some depressing years.
And I'll follow this up with you, and no offense to Buck Rising. Nobody cares about the Tennessee Titans. They're not a brand. The Giants, the Jets, or New York, the Raiders, those are your, like, historic NFL brands, right? So if you're one of those three teams that needs, or the Bears even, you need a total reboot, I'm a big proponent of trading for a good head coach because there's not many of them. Mm. Your draft picks are more valuable if you have the right head coach than if you're going out there and you're just drafting some offensive lineman with the 17th pick or the 12th pick or the second pick. Like, to me, the Giants may have the second pick or the Raiders may have the first pick. In this year's draft, to me, that pick would be more valuable if you traded for Kyle Shanahan or if you traded for Kevin O'Connell. Now, I don't think the Vikings, obviously, are going to trade Kevin O'Connell. Kyle Shanahan is a name that could potentially be traded, and it feels like it's just the right time. I know they're saying all the right things in San Francisco. Nobody's going anywhere and all that nonsense, whatever. If the right offer's made, people will make the move and trade that coach or whatever. But I think now is the right time. If you're one of the Jets, the Giants, the Raiders, one of those franchises that's looking for a total reboot, I would absolutely be calling franchises and saying, what would it take to trade for your head coach?
I don't know why they don't see it more often.
Like, I know.
Coaches getting traded.
Yeah, because here's the story with that, in my opinion anyway, the way that I view it. There's not a lot of good ones. And so if you're a franchise with one of the few good NFL head coaches out there, why do you want to trade them, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, never know. Maybe you get somebody in waiting.
Maybe.
Right? Like, let's say it's not going to happen. Let's say Detroit wanted to trade Dan Campbell.
Right.
They would just give old boy, office coordinator, the job because they know that he's the next in waiting, and they could get 2 or 3 first-round picks for Dan.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's like, all right, here you go. Now, that's just a hypothetical. That's never going to happen.
Right,
Dan Campbell's going to live rent-free in Detroit the rest of his life.
Oh, Dan Campbell's never going to buy a cocktail, a meal, or anything until they go 4-12.
Well, he only drinks Americano black coffee. He drinks three ventis of them a day. All right, so go ahead, Lawyer Bob, and give us your Patrick Mahomes MVP because before you go,
yep.
I give the jury their things here.
Okay.
Josh Allen is -320. Lamar Jackson is +225. Joe Burrow +1,800 to win MVP. Josh Allen could lose this because Lamar Jackson has to play. Josh Allen's not playing.
Right.
Joe Burrow has to play. Could jump both of them.
What if Lamar wins this game over the weekend and beats Joe Burrow?
Then we have a really interesting conversation on Monday.
Yeah.
A really interesting conversation besides the coaches that don't make Black Monday, right? Because that's when they all get fired.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Patrick Mahomes is +4,000.
+4,000.
And he's not playing, so it's over.
Yeah.
But go ahead and give your case.
But I'm going to say, because I still think Patrick Mahomes is the most valuable player.
And he's not a Pro Bowler, so you can't win that either.
I know he's not a Pro Bowler. I mean, I tell you what, that Bobby Stroop tweet yesterday just said good. Sorry, rest of AFC world, you're going down once the playoffs begin. I know Mahomes isn't putting up the best numbers in the league this year. We can all recognize that. I know these numbers he's putting up aren't the numbers people expect Patrick Mahomes to put up. I mean, my God, when you go 50 and 5,000, that becomes the expectation. And I know the numbers he has on his stat sheet are bested by many other quarterbacks in the league. But Patrick Mahomes leads the league in one stat, the only stat that matters, and that's wins. In a year that was marred by losing three weapons, not having a left tackle, facing every AFC playoff team during the season, Mahomes still put up a year that is an MVP year. He's come up with the big play, the comeback, the game-clinching drive, two more wins than the next best team in the AFC, who's led by that person that everyone says is the MVP of the league, and Josh Allen. Public perception is forcing people to vote for Josh Allen over everyone else because many have said, quote, it's his time to win the award. It's not his time to win the award. It's no one's time to win any award. But in a league where that has a lot of good teams, its only great team is led by Patrick Mahomes. Say the MVP word out loud. MVP. What do the letters mean? It points to Patrick Mahomes 100 times out of 100. The most valuable player. He's the most valuable player on the best team in the league. If that doesn't scream MVP, I don't know what does. And be honest with yourself. If you're starting an NFL franchise and could pick any active player, you are taking Patrick Mahomes 100 times out of 100. No one with a right mind would take anyone else. In closing, a lot of stat nerds say that they can't handle the truth because Patrick Mahomes' numbers are not where they need to be. The truth is, all that matters in the NFL is the final score. Not how many yards you threw for or even how many touchdowns you scored. It's about winning games. No one in the NFL wins better than Patrick Mahomes.
You rest your case?
I rest my case.
Okay. So, unfortunately, this is a statistic award.
Which is stupid.
And, unfortunately, Patrick Mahomes' first year as a starter, he threw for 50 and 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, he's got to continue to put up those numbers to win. How many did Kobe win? One? Right?
Yeah.
Kobe won one MVP.
Kobe had one MVP.
Lost two to Steve Nash.
Mm-hmm. Back to back.
And we all knew that Steve Nash was no Kobe Bryant. And Kobe was more valuable to his team than Steve Nash.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the Shaq effect, I think, was one of those things, too, where it's like, well, he had Shaquille.
He wasn't the best player on the championship.
And even when you had Pau Gasol, they were like, well.
I mean, Mahomes is winning with Nico Remigio.
Well, yeah. I mean, Mahomes should have won it last year. If you already know it was this year.
Mahomes is winning with Wanya Morris.
That's the thing. Like, he doesn't have a left tackle. Or he didn't until they had Tooney.
Until Tooney bounces outside. Like, I mean, I guess I know I'm Homer-ish, but when you actually look at reality, which is in sports, we don't do that anymore. We just react to social media. We react to stats. We react to the nerdization of sports instead of focusing on what truly matters. And for somewhere along the line, we have diminished winning in sports because of fantasy, because of over-unders, because of gambling, all this other stuff. We have diminished the only thing that matters.
I feel attacked.
And that is winning. That's all that matters in sports. And nobody wins better than Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And for the two of them to be on the outside looking in of these awards, I just think is absolutely. They're a 15-1 football team. That, what'd you say, 6-1 against the other AFC playoff teams?
Or 5-1, whatever it is. They have one loss to Buffalo, and they beat everybody else.
They beat the Chargers twice, and they beat. So, yeah 6-1. They played every
AFC. And if they win Sunday, it'd be 7-1.
7-1. With backups.
And you'd have gone 7-1 on the road, 8-0 at home.
That's right.
Burrow has a better chance for MVP with one win over a 500 team.
That's right. And not even going to win if it's a division.
Right. Nope. See how you talk this out, and you start to go, oh, my God, people are stupid. Well, like, Joe Burrow is on a sub-500 team.
But to be fair, to quote your thing, the most valuable player, without Joe Burrow, this team doesn't have a chance.
They won nine games last year without Joe Burrow.
Yeah, good counterpoint.
They won nine games with Jake Browning.
Great counterpoint.
Like, I'm just
well
so
done
over
by
that.
You.
Oh, without this, like, we saw it last year. They were pretty good.
They weren't bad.
They weren't bad. They were respectable.
No. But Joe Burrow, I mean, it's like, again, is it his time to win the award now because he's on a mid-football team that has terrible uniforms, except those white ones are beautiful.
Those white ones
worst
are nice.
Fan base of all time. But, like,
Philly's up there.
Philly's bad.
I've never had interactions with Philly fans like I did with Cincy fans. I mean, you're talking trash to my daughter in the crowd. Like, you got some issues.
Take your family and Chiefs gear to a Philly game. Let me know how that goes.
Yeah, I'm not stupid, though. Like, I'm not stupid.
But if you're going to do that, take Buck Rising with you, and I bet you leave.
Yeah,
let Buck Rising and Big Dom square off on the field and see who wins that fight.
No, I'm not stupid. I'm not taking my family to an Eagles game in Chiefs gear. That's
like, would you rather go to, like, the Eagles game or back in the day go to Oakland and sit in the black hole?
Oakland and sit. I did do Oakland one time.
Oh,
that was
cool.
It was I always tell the story. I had a black polo on because I was working. I had a little red in the logo, and boy, the Oakland fans went after me for that. Like, little red, you could barely see it in
shark
the logo.
In the water, man. Like,
yeah,
blood in the water.
It was scary, man. Like, it was a wild scene.
Yeah. So I think Man, I think Lamar might win this MVP.
I know. I'm starting to lean because, that way more and more.
And you know what? If Patrick doesn't, you know I'm a Lamar apologist.
Because Lamar is going to play more games than Allen. Because when Mahomes won it the second time, he won it because he played more games than Jalen Hurts. Right? Like, that was like the deciding factor. If Lamar Jackson wins and they win their division and he goes out there and has a Lamar game, like, they just beat Houston 34-2 or 36-2.
Yeah, right.
Right? And then he goes out here and wins this week. Where they play? Cleveland. So, I mean,
well, they are playing Bailey Zappi. Let me tell you about Bailey Zappi.
Yeah, that was so funny. I almost wrecked my car when I saw that. Because all I heard was like,
Let me tell you about Bailey Zappi.
Yeah.
So the 40th starter.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Lamar goes out there, let's say hypothetically Lamar throws for 300, throws for 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, has, 70 yards rushing, they're going to all of a sudden be like, okay, he won his division as well. That cancels out. He played more games, advantage Lamar. His numbers are better, advantage Lamar. He's been more valuable to his team, advantage Lamar.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who's got a better – I mean, I guess you would say that Lamar's got definitely the better offensive support. Allen would have the better defensive support, if that's even a category for, MVP. But I think if Lamar goes out there and balls against Cleveland, which he should, and they win their division, Lamar Jackson will surpass Josh Allen.
Well, and Josh I'd be okay
Allen,
with that.
2 weeks ago, Josh Allen was minus 900 to win the MVP. 2 weeks later, he's minus 320. That's a significant drop.
That's a
I know he's
drop,
still the favorite.
Yeah.
And they may take out the fact that they had already won their division, so he gets that. But again, I think Lamar Jackson balls, we're going to get a back-to-back MVP. And then all of a sudden, the Mahomes narrative of, he can't win it every year. Then what are we doing with Lamar Jackson? That'd be his third MVP, 2 in 2 years,
right,
with what to show for it.
Yeah, nothing.
So again, I know Mahomes. I know the text line I haven't opened yet. But I know that everybody says Mahomes is on potential to get his fourth Super Bowl, his fourth Super Bowl MVP. Whatever else, 2-time MVP, the trophy room just keeps adding.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it'll look like Tiger Woods' trophy room, which is just insane to think about because he's not even 30 years old yet. But
who will have more trophies, Tiger majors or Patrick Mahomes Super Bowls?
Majors. He has 14.
Well, hey, you never know.
Hey, come on, man. We're on pace.
Why he's got to win a Super Bowl the rest of his career.
You gonna tell him no?
No. Okay. I mean, I already have the theory that if they win a three-peat, I'm done with football.
You're just done.
You'll never top it.
Yeah, you'll never.
My
top
friend
it,
called Cap, but I was like, "What do you do then? Like, what's next? Like, if you win your fantasy league 3 years in a row, be like, guys, I'm going elsewhere.
Right.
I gotta find more competition. Chiefs won 3 in a row. What is there to top that? 4.
Yeah.
Then what? 5.
Then 5.
Then
yeah.
You're just.
But see, that's the thing. Like, with this team, they would wake up the morning after the Super Bowl and go, all right, let's get back to work and win 4. Nobody's done that. That's the sick mindset of them. That's why you don't bet against the Kansas City Chiefs in any football game, because they're ready to go. And that's the other thing that's impressive about Andy Reid. How many teams over the years have we seen make the Super Bowl and go 8-8 or worse the following season, fall flat on their face,
San
not
Fran's
make it back?
This year.
Philly did it last year.
Yeah.
I mean, especially losing teams. Losing teams usually don't recover and make it back. Chiefs lost the Super Bowl. They've now look like they're going to go to 3 straight Super Bowls, right? Like, what they're doing year to year is even more impressive than what Kevin O'Connell's doing. To keep these guys engaged from year to year to year with a third of your roster turning over every single year, and to continue to get better, to continue to stay engaged, to continue to win games, to go 15-1, and Andy Reid's an afterthought. It's unbelievable. It's stupid is really what it is.
What's not stupid is the name Buck Rising. Also, what's stupid is the most the most disrespected player in the NFL is
Patrick Mahomes.
Nope. But he plays for the same team, and I'll tell you who it is on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Final segment here in the 6 o'clock hour. Everybody stay safe out there. Do your due diligence so you don't have to get out in this mess this weekend, because it's going to get here. Whether you want it or not, it's getting here.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we're going to escape this one, Dusty.
Nope. And, Mac, we still have a loyal listener, right? Remember Monday we got called Whiners or Wieners?
Oh,
I can't remember.
Why?
Because we were saying the Chiefs should Andy Reid be Coach of the Year, and Mahomes has a case for MVP. And we were called Wieners. I think is how it was spelled on the text line. Either
big
way.
Wieners.
Yeah, big, big Wieners that day.
Basically, we felt vindicated after going 15-1, Bob, that all of these national media people talking crap about the Chiefs, saying, oh, Mahomes can't do it. Oh, this offense is a slump. Oh, Andy Reid isn't going to be able to figure this out. We felt vindicated and said, hey, we told you so. And then we got called whiners.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yep. It is what it is. Yep. So be glad you weren't here.
Yeah, you would have loved it. You would have loved it.
No, but we talk about disrespect in those awards. Whatever, I get it. Because somebody said, so, you know, Andy Reid and, you know, he has the best quarterback. And yeah. But again, at what point? Like, I understand.
Andy Reid's won with everybody, though.
I understand if, like, Andy Reid went 12-5, you'd be like, yeah, he should do that. He's won an average of, like, 11 games with the Chiefs. Okay, 15-1.
15-1, yeah. 15-1 with injury. Every team. I mean, you look at the scores, too, of all these games. There's no blowouts involved in any of these games. I mean, like, week 12 against Carolina, 30-27 win. I'm looking at your handiwork up there, Dusty.
Thank you.
Glad you have it up there, because I wouldn't have remembered that. But that's like one of those games that you look at, you're like, that's why Andy Reid is coach of the year. That's why Patrick Mahomes is MVP. San Francisco, you look at that game, a 10-point win, but that's why Patrick Mahomes is MVP, because of that run that he had against San Francisco. You look at the Tampa Bay game, week 9, 30-24, overtime. Chiefs get the ball in overtime. Patrick Mahomes leads them right down the field for a touchdown. Tampa never touches the football. That's why Patrick Mahomes is the MVP of this league. And then you look at what happened over the last 3 weeks, beating Cleveland, beating Houston, beating Pittsburgh, two playoff teams and a turd bird. But three wins in 11 days is just unprecedented in the NFL. And that's coming off a win against what everybody says is the greatest team in the AFC West, the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chiefs find ways to win games. They're not a lucky team. They're just better than you. The Raider thing may be a little lucky with the snap, obviously. But everything
else.
Not
our fault that guy got nervous.
Not our fault at all.
Not our fault we played that game at Arrowhead and got nervous.
Not our fault at all. But I hate when people say, well, the Chiefs have just been lucky this year. No, when you're good, you create your own luck. You know how to win games. You know what it takes to win at the end. That's why when you look at the postseason and you're thinking to yourself, okay, who could potentially beat the Chiefs? The answer is no one, because they know how to win. They know how to make plays. And the reason they do is because they got 15 and Andy Reid standing there that don't care what the situation is. They know how to get the job done. And this season has proven it in and of itself.
Text line asked a question to Belichick when coach of the year when the Patriots went undefeated. Yes, he did.
He did.
Yeah. 2007. The last time Andy Reid won coach of the year, the only time was 2002.
I knew it was early. Like, so we're talking 23 years ago. Mm. Mac wasn't even born.
I was still in high school. I wasn't even in high school. I was still in middle school.
Were you?
Yeah.
2003?
Yeah. 2003. I was literally getting ready to go into my freshman year. Old.
I was probably already breaking down film.
Now, that's right. You probably were. Yeah. I was playing grab ass on the radio at that point. So.
But no, we talk about disrespect. There's nobody, at least in my opinion, more disrespected in the NFL than Trent McDuffie. Obviously, he wasn't a Pro Bowler. He was an All-Pro a year ago. Mm-hmm. I believe it was a year ago. As a corner, he's two-time Super Bowl champion, been in the league 2.5, almost 3 years now. Not making the Pro Bowl for Trent McDuffie, be considering one of the best four corners in the AFC. Not the NFL, AFC. Mm-hmm. Didn't make it. But he's an All-Pro. Which I guess all pros better. And people will say, well, we don't care about Pro Bowls. These players do.
Oh, they get a lot of coin.
They get a Christmas, New Year's, and full season bonus when they get this award.
Not being in the Pro Bowl has cost Trent McDuffie in this option year roughly $4 million.
That's good for the Chiefs.
yeah, they're like, cool.
Ironically, it's like, what's your only argument about not giving us more money? Well, you haven't been a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. But well, like, two-time All-Pro, two-time Super Bowl, well, three-time Super Bowl champion, hopefully.
Yeah.
But again, you look at
his... But he didn't make the Pro Bowl, sir.
Fair enough. But you look at his numbers in his career, right? Like, the guy's just locked down. And to me, it's Surtain and McDuffie as your top two corners in
sure.
maybe football. Right, like it used to be Sauce Gardner was in that conversation. He's kind of like Sauce.
Yeah.
He's kind of like flared off a little bit, but it's not like to a significant, like to where he's like trash.
Yeah.
But he's not McDuffie, he's not Pat Surtain Jr. Trent McDuffie in
he's definitely not living up to a nickname at this point in time.
In a 17-game average, Trent McDuffie is targeted 86 times a year. He's allowing 52 receptions. A year, he's only targeted 86 times, which is nobody throws to him, which is... if so facto number one, of being a lockdown corner, right? And this year, when he was told to do a new job, because L'Jarius Sneed basically did what McDuffie did this year, and then McDuffie was always your shadow guy in the slot. Now McDuffie is your lockdown outside. I'm taking number one, and we're going away with it. Not only that, but he only gives up a year, he gives up 100, or I'm sorry, he's targeted 217 times in 3 years, 131 completions. So on average, 86 targets a year, 52 completions his way. He gives up an average per year, 523 yards, two receivers. That's it.
That's it.
And a lot of that comes late at games when they're, you know, throwing little slants to kick up the field. So again, lockdown corner, disrespected corner. He should be in the conversation every year. And we talked to Nate Taylor yesterday. Will McDuffie set the market? He said no, but he'll be one of the top two highest paid, one of the top three highest paid corners in football.
Yeah, I think because Sertan is probably going to always be that highest paid guy.
Probably. I mean, he's the best corner in football,
yeah,
right? So if he's the highest and McDuffie's the second highest, yet McDuffie, not a Pro Bowler, not ever discussed, not ever talked about. Again, not during games because you don't want to be talked about as a corner during the games. But accolades. Like, I know that we went, you know, on and on about MVP and Coach of the Year. But the fact that Trent McDuffie just continues to be disrespected, I love it. It's fine. But again, he's going to be a Chief for life. I think that's one of the jerseys you could buy and you're okay with. Like, yeah, Mahomes, Kelsey, McDuffie, Jones. You could buy those jerseys and you'll never have to worry about them going anywhere else. But again, three-year average, 86 targets, 52. That's 60.4%. That's a decent number. But again, go look at everybody else's numbers. They're not even remotely close. 523 yards a season. A season. Average in 3 years, and yet no Pro Bowls, just one All-Pro.
But this
two
again,
times Super Bowl champion
goes back to the way now that people view sports. They view sports through such numbers, and if you don't have certain buzzwords or buzz numbers and big buzz numbers, people want to discredit you. And for defensive backs, that's interceptions. Well, it would be like saying Barry Bonds doesn't have enough home runs this year. Why doesn't Barry Bonds have enough home runs? I don't know. They've intentionally walked him in every at-bat. He hasn't had the opportunity to hit home runs. And that's Trent McDuffie when it comes to interceptions. Why doesn't he have many interceptions? Because nobody throws his way. But again, that doesn't. There's not a stat for that. There's not a way to describe that in the mathematic world in which sports has become, because people just love to look at stats. They don't like to watch the games. They don't like to invest and see what's really happening and why things are happening. They just want a black and white number to tell them why something's happening. And so the casual observer looks at Trent McDuffie and says, well, you only have one interception in your career, two, whatever the number is right now.
Two.
He must not be.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Very good. No, the ipso facto, if you will, of that is he only has two interceptions because he is that good. And every team knows that when you line up, where's 22? Not thrown to that side of the field. And that dude eliminates an entire half of the field just by his presence being out there. But again, there's no number to prove that. There's no statistical analysis of that out there. So people want to discredit it. But Trent McDuffie eliminates basically half the side of the field when he's out there because everybody knows, I ain't throwing his way. He's going to break up the pass.
Also in his career, he's forced 7 fumbles.
That's a lot. Good Lord, may not man. Get it. That's a lot.
That's in 3 years.
That's a lot.
He's averaging 3 forced fumbles a year.
Yeah, that's a big number.
So he may not get interceptions, but then what? He's still getting turnovers. Like Tyreek Hill, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
George Pickens or whoever it was, he punched the ball out of that Pittsburgh game. Big play.
Right.
I believe that was a Pittsburgh game on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the sideline.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So, I mean, again, where do we lie? I don't know. But there's one guy that the Chiefs have beaten in the Super Bowl, I believe twice, who understands who Patrick Mahomes is. We'll dive into who that is next on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.